long week for you, or... Actually, you know what? I'm skipping that. I have a scene I need to set.
It was a long week, but fine. Set the scene.
Tuesday morning. There's an ML engineer, real job, real pressure, and they've just swapped a newer GPU into their inference stack for a customer support language model. More expensive chip, should be faster. They hit run, and the output is... the same. Same slow crawl of tokens, one word at a time.
Hold on. Same as what exactly? Same as the old chip?
Same as the old chip. The new chip is an NVIDIA H100. It can do 1,000 trillion floating point operations per second. And it spent, let me see if I can say this right, roughly 99% of that Tuesday morning doing nothing. Not because it's bad hardware, because the data pipeline feeding it moves at 3.35 trillion bytes per second, and the chip is so fast that it just waits.
That's a staggering mismatch. 1,000 trillion versus 3.35 trillion.
Yeah, and the best analogy I have is a chef who can cook 1,000 dishes a minute, but the kitchen door only fits one ingredient through at a time. You can hire a faster chef all you want. The door is still the door.
Okay, that actually lands. So the constraint isn't compute at all.
Right, it's memory bandwidth. And a 2025 IEEE cloud computing study put a hard number on it. 42 milliseconds per output token, a measured lower bound floor, coming purely from DRAM bandwidth saturation. Not a theoretical guess. Measured. That's the wall this engineer hit, and that's what this episode is actually about.
So when we say, wait, let me get this straight, they can't engineer around that 42 milliseconds. That's physics.
That's physics, which is maybe the thing that should have been on the spec sheet.
Oh, that's how it works. Yeah, okay.
And the part that stops me cold, this isn't a 2025 discovery. William Wolfe and Sally McKee named it, formally, in a paper, in 1995. They called it the memory wall.
Wait, 1995?
1995. They looked at the trajectory and said, processor speed is scaling exponentially. DRAM latency and bandwidth are improving incrementally. Those lines diverge. That's not a temporary lag. It's structural. And then 30 years went by.
So the engineer on Tuesday morning, they hit a wall that Wolfe and McKee saw coming in 1995. That's not a hardware failure. That's the architecture itself.
The von Neumann bottleneck, specifically. Data has to travel from memory across a bus to the processor. The bus grows slowly. The processor grows fast. That gap is baked into how we build computers.
Right. And HBM, the stacked memory on the A100 and H100, that's the industry's answer to this. Short, wide buses, die stacked vertically, gets you to 1 to 3 terabytes per second, which sounds enormous until you put it next to the flops number.
And a standard high-end CPU isn't even close. 50 to 100 gigabytes per second. So HBM is a real improvement, but the compute capacity still laps it. The wall moved. It didn't disappear.
The wall follows you. Which, actually, that's the thing about NVIDIA Jetson. Edge device, smaller scale, but the profiling data shows GPU cores running at 15 to 30% capacity under heavy inference load. Heavy load. Still sitting idle most of the time.
15 to 30 on a device designed for edge inference.
Yeah, because moving data the last mile, power budget, latency, you can't feed the chip fast enough. Same constraint, different zip code.
The engineering community knows this is real. They built a whole formal tool around it, the roofline model.
You plot arithmetic intensity against hardware limits to figure out whether your workload is memory-bound or compute-bound. The fact that tool exists is, it's an admission that the distinction isn't obvious. You can't just eyeball it.
You need a formal model to see a 30-year-old wall. That's the part that doesn't sit right with me.
But the industry didn't just shrug at that wall. They built something real, HBM. You stack the DRAM dies vertically, connect them through silicon vias, thousands of tiny short paths instead of one long bus. The A100 gets you to about a terabyte per second. The H100 pushes that to 3.
And it works?
Yes and no. The bandwidth is real. 3 terabytes per second on an H100 is genuinely impressive engineering. But compute is still underutilized. The gap narrows, it doesn't close. That 2025 study, the 42 millisecond floor, that was measured on high bandwidth GPUs, on HBM hardware.
Hold on. So 3 terabytes per second, and you're still hitting the floor?
Still hitting the floor. You move the ceiling, the arithmetic intensity of LLM inference just follows you up. And there's a cost side to this that I don't think gets priced in enough. HBM dramatically increases the cost and power draw per GPU. So you've traded one problem, bandwidth, for 2 others.
That's a real trade. More expensive hardware, higher energy bill, and you're still underutilized. Someone running an inference cluster is paying for all 3 of those at once.
Picture a data center operator. Say it's a Friday afternoon. They're reviewing power consumption reports for their H100 rack. The utilization numbers look fine on the FLOPS dashboard, but the watt hours per token are brutal. And I mean, wait, actually, the framing that matters here is they bought bandwidth and the bill is in energy.
What does CXL change? Because that's the other piece the industry is pushing.
CXL, Compute Express Link, lets you attach large off-package memory pools to a processor with better bandwidth than standard DRAM interfaces. You're extending capacity without redesigning the chip. It's useful for inference workloads where the model is too big to fit in GPU memory.
So it's additive, more headroom, not a different architecture. And Qualcomm's variant, the HBC thing, is just another iteration of the same stacking logic applied underneath the compute die.
Right. Different geometry, same physics. You're still moving data to the processor. You're just shortening the trip.
HBM, CXL, HBC, all of it is buying time inside the same constraint that Wolf and McKee described. The ceiling isn't lifted. The position the industry holds is that this is the near-term answer. And I think that's probably right as a description. I'm less sure it's right as a solution.
And there's a more fundamental direction, one that doesn't widen the bus but actually moves compute to where the data lives. That's where researchers like Onur Mutlu at ETH Zurich are pointing. And honestly, the implications are bigger. We'll get there.
Right, but moving the city is harder than widening the highway. That's the honest version of the PIM pitch. Processing in memory puts the computation logic inside or right next to the DRAM itself. Data barely moves at all. You're not speeding up the bus, you're eliminating the trip.
Who's actually building that?
Onur Mutlu at ETH Zurich is the name that keeps coming up. His research group has run studies showing significant performance and energy gains. Not marginal, significant. Just from reducing how far data travels. The logic is almost insultingly simple once you see it. The movement itself is the cost.
And there's hardware past the research stage?
Corsair is the closest. Chiplet-based. Combines compute and memory in the same package. It's cited as near-memory acceleration moving toward production. But, I mean, toward production isn't the same as in production. That distinction matters here.
Right. And then there's Prism.
Yeah, Prism. Photonic reconfigurable in-situ memory is the frontier version. Uses photonic compute in memory to sidestep electronic bandwidth limits entirely. Not widen them, sidestep. That's a different category of claim.
Zero production citation uptake. I looked at that number and, hang on, what does that actually mean in practice? Like, nobody's running this in a real cluster anywhere?
Not at data center scale. The gap between prototype and production is unquantified. That's not me being vague. That's the honest state of the research. Prism showed promise in a lab. That's confirmed. That it ships and scales? That's a bet.
So PIM is more fundamental than HBM or CXL. Eliminates the movement rather than just accelerating it. But the hardware-software stack it needs doesn't exist yet at scale. You'd have to rethink how memory is addressed, how compilers work, how models are even written.
That's exactly the tension. Imagine a chip architect. It's maybe 2 in the morning. She's staring at a Corsair spec and a procurement deadline. The physics point clearly toward PIM. Her software team would need 6 months minimum to re-architect the stack. She buys the H100s. Not because PIM is wrong, because theoretically compelling isn't a 2025 procurement decision.
So what does she actually do in the meantime? KV cache optimization? Smarter batching? That's the pragmatic middle ground people are using right now?
Yeah. KV cache compression, eviction strategies, batching more requests together to squeeze utilization. Real gains. But they're working around the wall, not through it. The physics that Wolf and McKee named in 1995 is still the physics. PIM is probably where the architecture wants to go. The market just... it isn't there yet.
And I mean, this isn't a new thought at this point. It's her, the engineer from Tuesday morning. She didn't miss something. She bought what the spec sheet said was the right number. Flops. That's the metric vendors measure. That's what the benchmark showed. That's what the purchase order said. And none of that was wrong, exactly. It was just... it was the wrong question dressed up as the right answer.
And the physics isn't moving to meet her. That's the part that doesn't resolve. Signal propagation across copper has a ceiling. HBM pushed that ceiling. Genuinely, 3 terabytes per second on an H100 is real. But the 42 millisecond floor was measured on that hardware. The ceiling moved, the floor stayed.
Right. And somewhere right now, someone is approving a purchase order. Not in a hypothetical like today. The number on the page is flops. The constraint is bandwidth. Those two facts are not touching each other in that room.
William Wolfe and Sally McKee saw that room coming in 1995.
They did. And I'm not saying the industry ignored the problem. HBM exists, CXL exists, Owner Mulu's group is building real things. But the market communication piece, the part where the number on the spec sheet actually reflects the binding constraint, that hasn't caught up. And until it does, the purchasing decisions don't change.
That's the uncomfortable landing spot, yeah. It's not an engineering failure. The incentive structure just never got realigned to bandwidth.
She hit run on Tuesday morning, expecting faster tokens. She got the same crawl. And she probably thought it was a configuration problem.
It wasn't a configuration problem.
No, it was 1995. Thanks for thinking through this one with me. I needed the pushback on the PIM stuff.